What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. Y'all, today is Thursday, January 15th, 2026, and so glad that y'all could be with us this morning. You're in for a great show today. And if this is your first time tapping in to Speak Your Success, welcome, all right? I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and y'all may or may not know, but here on our show every single day, what we break down, we give you a little bit of education, we give you a little bit of entertainment, and lastly, you know, we got to give you some empowerment. All right, so without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring out our co-host, producer Britt. How you feeling this morning? Talk to the people.
What's up? Happy Thursday, which is my Friday.
Happy Thursday. So. Happy Thursday. Yeah. You got any plans of getting to anything this weekend? Anything fun? Anything special?
I'm doing some stuff, but I'm not gonna share it. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm busy.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, booked and busy. That's always good. Mm-hmm. That's what's up though. That's what's up. This weekend, no. No. Well, actually, I lied. Actually, I forgot my homeboy asked me to help him with some work that he has going on. So I'm gonna slide over to Greenwood, my homeboy's studio, and I'm gonna be an assistant. I don't know what I'm gonna be assisting with, but yeah, I'm just be assisting this weekend. So that's going up, and yeah. And other than that, we'll see what the week brings us. Cause coming up, then we got an extended weekend. Cause MLK Day on Monday. We're off Monday.
Yep.
So
that's
yeah,
true.
That's a win.
Thank you,
okay.
Martin Luther King. All right. Yeah. We need that.
Oh man. So shout out to him. Shout out to him. But yeah, other than that's all I got. But what did you eat for dinner last night, producer Britt? What did you
ramen.
Eat for dinner?
I just had ramen. Easy. Went to my ramen spot.
Okay.
Okay.
What about you? Gotcha. Well, wait. Hold on. We can't brush past that. Did you just get the broth? You got some meat in there. You got the egg. What we doing with the ramen?
No, I just get the broth and the noodles when I want a light day. I don't get anything crazy. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No meat.
Okay. Fair enough. Pause. What did I get? Last night I had. Oh, last night I cooked the Cajun salmon and shrimp with it was on a bed of rice, and then we threw a little bit of threw a little spinach in there. I guess you inspired me yesterday with your surf and turf, so I said let me see what I can get going. So yeah, Cajun salmon with the shrimp, and it was a win. My wife was like, "This is good," and I was like, "Okay, I'm
pleased." Funny that you say that, because I looked in the fridge like when I was putting my ramen up. Cause I normally get like a couple of them at a time. And, I was like, what is this to-go box? I was like, oh dang, mistake. So,
always a major win when you find those hidden gems in the fridge that you forgot that you had,
man. Yeah. I was like, man, I can't wait to turn this steak up. But yeah, so I don't know. I might have steak for breakfast. Who knows? But
is that a country thing, or that's just a, like that, like that's normal, the steak and eggs. That's normal?
I think it's normal. I mean, it's meat and eggs. What does it apply to you? What is it into you?
I mean, I was just always curious, because I don't know. My dad would do it, and my dad was country, or from the country. So I was like, is this? I just was always curious if it was normal, or, you know, it's just one of them things.
I mean, you live in Texas, people eat chicken fried steak for breakfast, so.
Texas is different, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'll leave that there. I don't want nobody from Texas hopping on me.
But nah, No.
I'm just saying, like how people are so proud of Texas, and I'm like, I never understood exactly why. I guess you rep where you're from, everything like that. But you know, people like Texas is its own country, and that we can move on.
I mean, but, do you say the same thing about Louisiana?
That it's his own, it should be his own country, or just like, I'm proud of Louisiana.
That people from Louisiana are proud from Louisiana.
No, I don't think Louisianians are as proud as Texans. Texans big proud.
Not comparing the two. I'm asking you, are people from Louisiana, are they proud to be from Louisiana?
Hit or miss.
Are you?
Yeah, it depends on the day. It really depends on the day.
Why you feel that way?
Well, not because it's like in Louisiana, I from what I remember seeing, like seeing, I'm not, was it the mayor or was it the governor? Boy got locked up because, you know, he was taking advantage. You've seen the Katrina documentary. But then on the other side, like, I don't feel like we valued education as much in certain parts of Louisiana because the reading level is not so high. And so, I mean, when it comes to that, no, I'm not proud of that. In terms of like where we value education and things like that.
So, oh, okay. So you only base it off education?
No, I'm not. I said in terms of that, but generally, I mean, I'm happy to be from Louisiana. I'm happy to be from Baton Rouge, the Red Baton. Mm-hmm. But other than that, hey, you know, it's whatever.
That boy don't care where you from. Dang.
Okay. I mean, but I'm not. But I like I'm that person though, because even when like I travel, I know traveling is a great experience, is a great opportunity to expose mm-hmm. your mind and expand all these different. But if I'm somewhere for like longer than a day, like it's not, I'm trying to like it, like I feel like I'm in the same place, if that makes sense. At times, if I travel, go to the hotel, go out to get something to eat. Like, I don't feel like, oh, this is a new experience, or, oh, I'm somewhere different. I don't know if you feel what I'm saying. Or I don't even know if I
don't, because maybe when I travel and I go somewhere, I try to do new things that, you know, go with that state. You know, if you're in Louisiana, you're going to go try some food. If you're in Texas, I don't know, maybe you'll go to the malls. If you're in St. Louis, maybe you'll go see the Arch. If you're in California, maybe you'll go to the beach. You know, you just kind of do what goes with the state. So that way, you know, you have new experiences. Now, I would say everywhere I go, when I do travel, I do like to hit up a museum. Because, I mean, if you go to a museum, it'll tell you about the state and the history of the state. So you'll learn a little bit more that way. But dang, Jonathan, didn't I feel like that.
No, I mean, so I think
there's... I don't care where you're from. Just... go on vacation for one day.
I mean, but also I moved around. I moved around a lot as a kid, though, from Louisiana, Atlanta, Texas. So, I mean, the experience I appreciated was being a new kid. That was cool. But outside of that, I mean, I personally really don't need much, though. So, I mean, that could be contributing to like the way I feel and the way I move and how I operate. But I don't need much. Really. I don't. I'm easy, man. I'm easy. Okay. I just. The stuff I want, I mean, I'll buy. But other than that, develop me. And that's what I'm here for. Make sure my family good. But other than that, I'm cool, man.
And so you don't need to travel? Because you don't really like traveling, right?
I don't. Why are we going here, Britt? Why are we trying to do this?
Come on, talk about it.
So for me personally, I don't feel like I do need to travel. Can there be new experiences? Yes. Can I enjoy things after I get there? Yes, but at the same time, mm-hmm. like traveling is something like, I want to go here, I want to go there. I mean, I want to go to Bali, yeah. I want to go to Japan, yeah. But outside of a handful of places, I don't feel like I necessarily need to travel.
You don't want to see Montana, the beautiful mountains, the lake. You don't want to, I mean, you've been to New York, right?
Yeah, I've been to New York a handful of times. I've been to New York during New York Fashion Week. I was with my homeboy Mahari and we bumped into Whoopi Goldberg up there, and you know, he put on a couple fashion shows. I helped him with that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the city is dirty. Erskine came on and told us the city dirty, but I mean, like, it's big dirty.
I mean, I believe it.
So yeah, I mean, New York was okay. I've been there a couple times. I'm cool on that. But some places, I don't know. I guess I'm
been
just
Miami.
Been to Miami a couple of times.
Okay.
Ocean Drive, you know, was driving around with the top down.
Ocean Drive. That's not Miami. That's South.
Went to the Clevelander. I mean, I think that's where we stayed. I think we really just stayed over there in South Beach.
South Beach, yeah. I mean, but, that's normal.
I mean, because I was, this was a few years out of college. So, I mean, we were just up there posted. But yeah, man, I don't need
much. Did you get to experience Vegas? You went to Vegas?
I don't have a desire to go to Vegas. I don't
like
gamble.
Ever in life? You've never had one?
I mean, no. Like Sin City, I'm good on that. I mean,
you don't have to look at it like that. I mean, there's other things that you can do.
That's what it's called, though. But I mean, yeah. But what else is a high point of Vegas? Like the shows or?
Yeah, I mean, the shows, the experiences that they have there. I mean, I think it's cool. And then, I don't know, a place that you can go at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning and get a hot, juicy steak. I mean, it's just a different world.
I mean, I feel
so. It's just cool to experience. So
okay, wait. So for you in travel, what's your feeling around travel? Like, it's something that's essential. It's something that recharges you. What we got?
I think it's something that just opened your eyes to new things because you're going to a new place and you're experiencing. Quote unquote, a new culture of people because everybody does things differently. Like, I would say when people come to Texas, they're like, oh, wow, some Texans are nicer than I thought it would be. And, you know, it's very early in the morning. You know, you say good morning to people here. And when you go to other places, like when I went to Miami for school, it wasn't like that. You know, you say good morning, people just walk right by you. You're like, oh, y'all not nice here.
I didn't know that
because it's like, just as a little girl moving here, you just get accustomed to everybody, good morning, how you doing, good morning, just speaking in the morning. And so, yeah, and so when I didn't experience that when I went there, I was like, oh, okay, that's how they are here, got it. But I mean, it didn't rub me the wrong way. It was just like, okay, that's how they are here. And then when I went to Vegas, it's like you're in a hole. Like, you touch down, you 2 hours behind. So it's like your day really start over.
That is true.
And then it's like the fun begins. Either you having fun, you going to a show, or, you know, you're going to eat. I don't gamble. I mean, but to see it's nice to go see the things that you see on TV. And so I think that's really cool, especially me as just like a TV movie head. I love Ocean's 11. So I was happy that, I mean, I've been to Vegas before. I went back recently, but I was just younger. So it was cool to see, you know, the Bellagio again and the water dancing. And, you know, it was my Ocean's 13, you know, situation. So, and then what, Memphis, went to the museum in Memphis. I went there with my family and saw where everything happened for Martin Luther King. So it's just cool to go to different places and experience different things because, you know, it'll open your eyes. So I don't have it. Even when I went abroad, you know, that's one thing that was at the top of my bucket list. So grateful that I got to go because it's like, okay, they just live life different over there. And
that's true. That's
yeah.
True.
And it's beautiful to see because they value more of their, you know, personal time, family time. And, you know, they even when I saw them like closing the doors and stuff, like for lunch or things like that. And I was like, wow, that's real. Like, they really do close for like an hour or, you know, an hour or two.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that is like, you know, you read about it, but you're like, dang, you can't get no food right now. Cause it's like, you know, this is our time to, you know, be alone or pray or whatever, you know, whatever they do for that time. Even when we were in Ibiza and it was like, you know, kind of like, where are the people at? But it was more like, okay, well, everybody's about to go on holiday and they're going in, they come like late July, August. Cause you know, Europeans, they get like the whole month off, you know, they don't have to work for like a whole month.
Man, the way they give people time off abroad is we can take I'm about to say next level. We can take a lot of lessons from the way that they do maternity leave, from the way that they just take break. I mean, the way they eat food, they give you the plate and you're looking at the plate and you're like, I feel like I should have got more, but it's healthy, it's fresh, and it's portion control. Cause I've been where, I've been to Italy. I've been to, where else have I been? Went to the Bahamas, Jamaica. So I've been different places, and I have taken away things from those experiences, but I just feel like that's one of the things that's not, I guess, towards the top of my list. But I guess maybe as time progresses, and maybe as I want my kids to get experiences or get more culture, then it will be more important to me for them. And then it will also impress upon me. But yeah, I'm with you. I get it. I can appreciate how people want to see and experience other cultures. And there is a lot to learn from other cultures, just the way they do operate. Yeah. So I get it. I respect it. I respect it for sure.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, you don't want to travel, you don't want to see nothing, try new food, anything, man. That's crazy.
But I'll say this, we can move on. But so the thing about trying new food, I'm not against trying new food, but I think my comfortability level of, or my level of just the normal, right? Like, I like what I like. Even if I go to the same restaurants around here or go to new restaurants, I'm gonna find something that is in line with what I like and I've had before versus something that's new and different. Cause I'm like, I'm not trying to take no chance and I don't want this not to be good. So I'm just gonna stick here with X.
Nah, I'm out there trying something.
So you willing to try something new, and if you don't like it, then what? Then
what we doing? Send it back and give me something else. I'm gonna take one bite of this. If I don't like it, I don't like it. Yeah, but most of the time, like, try anything once. That is me. I'll try anything once, especially when it comes to food. I'll try anything once. I don't have an issue with it. So, I did the escargot. I fell in love with sardines. Yeah, I fell in love with sardines. I used to not like shrimp. And then because I never tried it.
Really?
And then never liked shrimp. I never liked it. And then I tried it. And then and then that opened the door for me when it came to seafood, because I didn't grow up eating seafood because my mama didn't eat seafood.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And mama didn't like seafood. Like, she only ate catfish. And so it's like, I only ate catfish. And then when I got older and I, made friends, and one day she was cooking some shrimp and I was like, never had it. And then ate it, fell in love with it. Now you can't keep no shrimp away from me. You can't keep no salmon away. You can't keep seafood away from me now. Like, I think I love seafood. Well, besides steak, but I love seafood, a little bit more than, meat. I don't eat a lot of chicken. I like seafood better.
So I'll take seafood. I'll take seafood and steak over chicken for sure.
Yeah, chicken just, I don't know what they're doing to the chicken these days.
But it's just there. It's just there. They like, I'm hungry. Oh, just a little chicken spot here, chicken spot there. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
We got that many chickens in the world for y'all to be supplying all.
They cloning the chickens. They cloning the chickens.
Well, they not saying it's cloning the chickens. They saying it's something else. But I ain't gonna say it online.
Wait, what?
I ain't got no evidence. I ain't gonna say it. Okay. I'll say it like this. Have you ever heard of Sweeney Todd?
Sweeney Todd, I've heard that before. I feel like you said it before, but
so Sweeney Todd. So one, it's a musical. I will say that I love musicals for all my musical lovers out there. Okay, Phantom of the Opera, The Wiz, Whoop De Whoop, Chicago. Okay, so Sweeney Todd is a musical. Like I said, it's based in London, and it's about this barber. Someone did something bad to his family, kind of like separate his family from him. And he went back, got revenge, and he would unalive people.
Unalive is so interesting.
I don't know if you could say the other word.
So, I've been hearing people just say that word often. I was like, when did this become a thing? But I get you.
I found out from TikTok. And so I was like, unalive? He unalived the people. And then there was a lady across the street. She had a pie company. And she had the worst pies in London. And then Sweeney Todd came in.
Worst pies?
Yeah, like it was the worst pies. Like she had the worst pies. Like that was her rating, worst pies in London.
Oh my
and
goodness.
And then from there, Sweeney Todd would come in, unalive the people. She had a meat grinder. And she would grind the people. They would grind the people up and make the meat pies. And then next thing you know, they got the best meat pies in London. And
that's a different.
We ain't got a lot of chickens in the world.
That's a different meaning of meat pie, okay?
We ain't got a lot of chickens. That's all I gotta say. But we got a lot of people. We got a lot of people. We ain't got a lot of chickens. That's just what I'm hearing, okay?
Wow.
That's what TikTok been talking about for a week or two. You know, they've been breaking down like the numbers of chickens and the number of burgers that McDonald's sells. So like beef and then the McDonald's sales, they do. I watched a video yesterday, Jonathan, about, you know, how people on TikTok, they like recreate the meal. And so they recreated like the Chick-fil-A meal and they put like all the pesticides and the all the stuff on a chicken. They made it just like Chick-fil-A did.
Cause, you know,
get the ingredients. He made a Chick-fil-A sandwich. He made Oreos and he made Doritos. And he used all the ingredients on the back of the label. And like when you see him make it, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, granted, I've stepped away from Chick-fil-A, so I'm proud of that. I don't think I've had an Oreo in years.
I'll
show it to you. And then Doritos. I mean, you know, that's kind of like
terrible, but that's like a hood classic. That's the after school classic right there.
What, Doritos?
Yeah, Cool Ranch, the Nacho Ranch, like whichever one, pick your poison.
I would say more
Hot Cheetos, no pun intended. But, I mean, yeah, hot Cheetos too. I mean, hot Cheetos, Doritos, Cheeto, like you can go down the list. But we just love that Red 40.
And it ain't about the Red 40. It's more than that. It's like
I mean, propane. But that's the part that's scary. Like the same thing that lights stuff on fire, the same stuff that blows stuff up, the same stuff that kills stuff we're ingesting on a daily basis. See kids running around with red fingers and hot Cheetos and Takis. Yes.
Yeah. It ain't just the kids, it's the adults too. Especially in the Black culture, because Black people will not give up snacks. I tell you that right now.
It's so hard because you like your snack. You get your snack and you watch a TV show. Snack. What's a healthy snack, producer Britt? What you got for us?
Mixed
healthy
nuts.
Snack. Come fibers. On, man.
Good fibers.
You just on this
cheese
fiber.
Cheese and crackers. No, it's come not. On. I'm a healthy snack eater. I'm a healthy snack eater. You want Britt, some kind of junk food over here?
Come on. You know cheese and crackers ain't hidden like hot Cheetos. Come
That's
on,
true,
now.
That's true, but it's not about that.
Mixed nuts. Mixed nuts ain't hidden like that.
Hey, give me some almonds, some cashews, walnuts.
That's an elevated palate. You talking about mixed nuts, cheese, crackers, wine. We not on that. We talking about Slurpees. We talking about hot Cheetos.
See,
we talking about them hot dogs at the gas station.
I don't eat that. I stopped that stuff a long time ago. My mindset is skinny, okay? That's my mindset.
My mindset is skinny is crazy. Skinny cow over there.
My mindset is skinny. I got to the point where I have to read how much sugar is in the milk, okay? I got two milks, John. I got two milks. I got a coconut milk, and then I got a lactose-free milk, just your regular 2% or whatever fat-free milk.
I get you.
And...
I need like they say in them old movies. I need a full report. Y'all help us out in the comments. Drop a healthy snack down in the comments because we need to know some other healthy snacks that can counter hot Cheetos and stuff.
Because I love chocolate. Is even good for you.
Chocolate isn't good. It don't taste.
Yes, it
good
is.
Like,
you're saying
yourself.
It's not good.
I want
you want the milk
snack.
Chocolate that got the sugar in it. And that's what's wrong with you. You a sugarhead. And that's what's wrong with the Black community. We ain't nothing but a bunch of sugarheads.
But you gotta like recorrect. It's like the Titanic. They saw the iceberg. We see the iceberg. We know hot Cheetos ain't doing right for us. We know Red 40 and all
that. It's not hot Cheetos all the time. It's sugar.
But we can't turn the boat.
We can't turn it fast enough. All right,
well, keep on. You're going to be like Jack at the end of the ocean because now you got now you're going to the doctor. You got high blood pressure and you got a sugar rush all the time. Something wrong with you. You got diabetes. You better turn. You better miss that glacier because you're tripping. You trip, you would have tried to miss that glacier. I do not play around with the sugar and the salt intake.
I can't. I'm trying to turn. It's too much.
No. I saw my face because I remember I was on here and I was like, you know what? Oh my gosh. I was like, man, my face looks like it's getting fat. And man. The next thing you know, I did no sugar. I try to limit my salt just so I can eat. But most of the time, I'm not adding that much salt to my food. Find seasoning somewhere else. Find flavor another way. So I can't, especially now, you know, I'm in my 30s. So, you know, I think about all that stuff and whoop de whoop de woo. But I am not a sugar head no more. I stopped drinking soda in seventh grade. You can catch me with a ginger ale, whatever. But that's about it.
I like a good soda every once in a while, though. I like the little... Every once in a while.
I can do that with sparkling water.
No,
same
ma'am.
Taste. Same taste.
It ain't hitting nothing. You can still go, crazy.
You can still do that.
You no, not same taste, same reaction.
Okay. Same reaction.
Yeah.
You can add the flavor to it. You know, the little flavors that they have.
I know what you're talking about. Like the carbonation machine. Yeah. I've seen that. Because my brother-in-law got one of those. Like to where you can carbonate the water. That don't taste the same. That's the part. Like,
see, that's what if
I'm gonna give something up, I need it to be equal then or better, and it's below average. Most of them are below average.
That's the Black community as a whole. In order for me to give something up, it has to be the same or better. It's not gonna be the same because it's better for you. Duh. You're brainwashed. You're brainwashed to be hooked on sugar. Come off the sugar, okay? That's why when people go abroad, they don't like the food because they're like, "Where is the flavor?" And it's like, "This is regular food.
This is the flavor as is. Yeah, this is the flavor as is."
And that's your problem.
Don't got all that seasoning all in there. All that sodium.
That sodium goes straight to your head. That's why you got a headache every day.
Straight to your head, straight to your feet. Man, now that is true. I will agree with you on that, Producer Britt. And we're going to get straight from the source after this.
Yeah,
but
good.
I will agree with you on that because there are some places I've eaten. And after I eat the chicken, like then the next day I eat the chicken, I'm like I got a headache. And I'm like, why do I have a headache? I've been eating, been drinking my water. It's like all this sodium in that
chicken
Louisiana fried
lab,
chicken.
Probably.
Now that Louisiana fried chicken, all that sodium.
Woo wee! Yeah, you can't eat that every day. That's once a month.
You cannot. It's good or it hit when it hit, but after that, it's like, hold on now. I can't keep doing this. Can't get that family pack because that thing gonna put me out the game.
That's your whole salt intake for the month. You can't have no more salt after that.
Put me out the game. I can't.
I feel you. I would say it started. This is my last thing. It started with ice cream because I was obsessed with ice cream. And chips, and me and Shay were
ooh,
me
that
and Shay
sugar.
Ooh, that ice cream.
Do not look at the sugar in
that
little baby
digits.
Blue mail.
It'd be four digits on that thing. 3 to 4 digits of sugar.
There is so much sugar in of them.
So much.
One day I look because I started looking at labels more. Like I'm more conscious of what I'm doing, even though sometimes it's still not the right. Like Cam Newton, I know right, but I always don't do it.
That's
I know
stupid.
Right, but I always don't
He's
do it.
Slow. For
Close quote,
it.
Cam Newton. But I'm looking. I'm like, okay. Well, I just eat a little bit. I eat a couple of spoonfuls. I just take a scoop out and eat that. Now I go back in there, find myself in the freezer, just that's take the good. Whole thing, just sitting down.
I know.
Watching whatever.
I know, Jonathan. I feel
taking
you.
Taking it down.
And that's why I had to stop buying ice cream because I was. Butter pecan, cookies and cream, pralines, strawberry, caramel, anything, toffee.
Oh, good.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I want some ice cream. And I'll be like, no, you can't do it. You can't do it because you want to be skinny. And the people are like, you can be skinny. You just got to work out. It's like, I'm doing both.
The food intake. Yeah, it's definitely the food intake. Man, okay, so look, let's do it together. Let's do it together. Y'all too.
I ain't doing nothing else with you because we were supposed to jump rope together. No, you ain't doing jumping.
My knees. I told you, my knees. Anyway. Before I was trying to talk to people, I'm trying to talk, exactly. Yeah, you see, I was eating on the court. You understand me? Anyway, before I was really interrupted, what we're gonna do together, since producer Britt ain't doing ice cream with three digits, what's your ice cream of choice that you gonna give up? Let's do it together. at least to the end of the month.
Do it together, huh? It's better, huh?
We're better together. That's what they say, right? That's one of the quotes that the black people put somewhere.
That's what black people put everywhere. We're better together.
But are we really together is the question.
That's the real question.
That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. So I am not going to buy no Bluebell, right? I like the cookies and cream. I like the wedding cake. I like it all.
But you like the sprinkles and all that stuff.
Birthday cake.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Birthday cake ice cream is my jam. I am a birthday cake ice cream connoisseur. Went over to Brahms. Theirs is blue. Mm-hmm. I didn't try it at all. Okay.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay, guys, we're going to transition. That was a lovely opening and a little chit chat on the side with that. So we're going to transition over to Jonathan. Here you go. Straight from the source.
All right, man. Straight from the source. We got this clip from Pastor Mike Jr. as we're still in the first month of 2026. I think it's a great, encouraging clip to challenge us. As you know, with Pastor Mike Jr., he does a great job bringing that word. So, Britt, you go ahead and roll that clip, and then we'll bring the scripture after.
How you gonna guilt trip me for trying to be what God called me? Because now it's forcing you to deal with the fact that you ain't who God called. All separations ain't evil. There are certain friends in my life I had to detach from because they made the parts of me that were dysfunctional comfortable. It ain't a sin to be with them. We didn't do nothing sinful. They just made it comfortable for me to complain. They made it comfortable for me to never deal with my weight. They made it comfortable for me to be the version of me that I didn't need to be. All of us don't want detachment because we don't want to deal with rejection. What you think is rejection is really projection. What makes you think their rejection gonna kill you? Talking about we don't like you, good. That must mean I'm on a level that they can't comprehend yet, and God's getting ready to birth something new in me. How you gonna guilt trip me?
Yeah. He riding high on that one. He riding high, talking real good. And as just like we were talking about before, then transitioning into our content now, Pastor Mike was saying the people around him were allowing him to be comfortable in a space to where he couldn't grow, in a space to where it didn't require him to elevate. But now I want to turn to our text, and our verse today is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. And the text reads, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The question I have for you today is, are you around people who are challenging you to reflect? Are you around people who are causing you to pause on certain behaviors? Are you around certain people that are allowing you to be lax with where you are, with your goals, if it be around fitness, with your dreams, if it be around business, or with your desires, if they be around family? Y'all, because for me, as I just think back over my life, I can remember there was a time to where I would find myself at happy hour almost every night after work. And the thank you, producer Britt. Huh. Okay. And then at that point in time, when I was at happy hour every single night, I was there with who? The same people, right? We might as well have been a sitcom because we were showing up at the bar every time, right? Same people. Sometime we'd bring in different faces and different characters, but it was the same set cast. And these were people that I'm not saying that they, you know, that they were the ones who were creating the bad habit and the bad behavior. Because I made the decision to go every night, right? I made the decision to be there and hang out and have these drinks and have this margarita, whatever it might be. But the fact still remains that if I wasn't, like the text says, right? If I wasn't being sharpened and sharpening somebody else, then who's growing, right? The text says, as iron sharpens iron, so should one person sharpen another. So from that point, I had to ask God, I was like, God, I'm scared of losing these friends, right? I like these behaviors. I like these habits. But clearly you're calling me to move and you're calling me to do something different in my life. So God, can you please bring me some other friends so that ultimately I'm not getting drunk. I'm not getting hungover. I'm not waking up at 2 o'clock the next day and then I'm missing out on days. Because this was right when I was trying to start my entrepreneurial journey, right? So this was truly hindering me in a negative way. And we weren't elevating as a whole and neither was I elevating individually. So then the point came where God then began to send some people my way. And then the habits began to change. The environments I started to go and hang out began to change. The things that I had a passion and a desire to do began to change, but this all began to change all from the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the conviction that he began to place on me, knowing, seeing, and understanding that, John, fun don't have to always look like getting drunk. Fun don't have to always look like going to the club, going to the bar. There's other ways you can have fun. There's other things you can do. And there's other people that you can surround yourself with to where now these things are pursuing purpose instead of just always pursuing pleasure, right? Because just like we were talking about before with the situation, the conversation about snacks, it's pleasureful and enjoyable to have this snack or that snack. But at the same time, is that going to help propel you to where you want to be around your weight? Are the things that you're doing going to really move you forward in furthering the kingdom and doing things the way God has called you and utilizing the gifts that God has given you? Family, today, the question I have for you is, who are the people that are surrounding you on a daily basis? Are they bringing you closer to what you want to do and to the person that you want to become? Or are they pulling you further from that person that you're striving to become and the things that you're striving to do? Just reflect on that and sit on that. But at the end of the day, you have the power to make the decision to be the best version of yourself. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family, your future family, and the people that are connected to you. Because God has placed the gift inside of you. And the only way that that thing is really going to come to fruition is by you, me, and us really doing the work. Family, that's been Straight from the Source. About to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back with more Speaker Success in the Morning after this.
All right, y'all. We're not going to break. We're rolling. Oh, we're live. Let's get it. That was a nice word, Jonathan. You know, be around people that are going to be better for you. That's important.
That's it. That's it. That's it, Britt. Because so often, you know, sometimes we might just be rolling. Might just be rolling, not really taking account of where we're going, mm-hmm. what we're doing. And then when we end up at a destination, we surprised. Don't be surprised.
But do you get rid of the people or are you trying to like better? We're better together.
Is it easier to be pulled down or lift up? At the end of the day, I'm not saying you get rid of the people, but you might have to start limiting exposure. For instance, I'll take the example of you. Like you said, you're striving and being more intentional about like the weight and different things like that. Mm-hmm. If you have friends around you that's always going out to eat, every time y'all hang out, there's always food, there's always this and always that. Is that going to help? Is that going to get you closer to your goal or not?
I'm just not going to eat what they're eating. I might eat something else. Now, I will say this. At home, mm-hmm. I eat healthy. At home, I eat healthy. My time to pig out and grub like Timon and Pumbaa, you know, off Lion King, that would be when I go out. And that is my, you know, that's my social time. So it's like, I don't mind doing it when I go out. But then again, like you were saying in your story, I'm not going out every night doing that, you know, because that will make you fat. But yeah, so that's my two cents. So yeah, it's okay. You can invite me out. I'm gonna find something on the menu either within my diet. 9 times out of 10, that's probably not gonna happen because when I go out, I love a good steak. But I mean, that's about it. But when I get home, straight back to the diet or straight back to the way I just eat here at home. So I wouldn't even say it's necessarily my diet. It's just what I do. It's just my lifestyle.
I got, but okay, yeah, let me piggyback off that. So what I will say is But I feel you're like a strong-minded and strong-willed person, right? Mm-hmm. So with you, you might have already gone through or already overcome like some of the ebbs and flows of easily being influenced this way or that way. Mm-hmm. You're like, nah, this is what I'm gonna do because this is the goal, and you're locked in. Right. But for people starting out, like when I was first starting out, it wasn't that easy. It was like God literally had to pull the people from me. Mm-hmm. He had like, hey, let me. You need to get a new job. You need to go over here. You need to be over there. He just had to take me out of the situation. So, yeah. You know,
and kudos. That's something that I struggle with because I'd be like, what do you mean? Why don't people, like, why don't you get it? Like,
empathy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, say the word. Say what it is now. Go ahead.
It's hard for me to do that. I don't know. Maybe that's something I got to pray for because. It's hard for me when people are like, I want to do this and I can't. And I'm like, well, then you don't want to do it. You know, your mama, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. And it's like, okay, well, eat this. I don't want to eat that. Well, you're not that hungry.
Classic things that Black parents say.
Well, you're not that hungry then. If you don't food.
That's food. Yeah. That's food.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, there's an opportunity. You could do it. I was like, I can't. Because even, you know, I guess I can't sit there and harp on it because, you know, there are some things I struggle with that too. But when it's like you just said, like when it's time to lock in, you know, slap some water on my face and keep it going, you know.
Slap some water on my face is crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Just like, I think this is a great, great transition into the conversation around, you know, tapping into our full potential, right? Like what you were saying with... are like what you sent over to me, that Oprah interview with her and Adam Grant, mm-hmm. and talking about like really getting into your full potential. Because at the end of the day, we all have the opportunity to do that, but who's going to do the necessary steps to overcome whatever that mountain is before us and before them? So, Britt, go ahead.
No, I was just about to, you know, slot us in and go into the conversation. So one day out of the week, I'll listen to a whole bunch of podcasts. I have a library. My library consists of, you know, Oprah, like Jonathan just said. I have a money financial podcast I listen to, Bread to Lead, a little inspirational podcast as well. So the daily, I listen to the daily right when I get off the show because it just gives me the daily news and, you know, just makes me think I'm staying up to date and doing my due diligence as a citizen, knowing what's going on in the world because I can't read that many articles in a day and they do a good job summing everything up. Every now and then I'll tap into the Brown Girl Self-Care podcast. I really love her podcast. She's very raw. Very authentic, and she'll just tell you how it is. But like we're saying, we're going to the Oprah podcast. So I was like, okay, the last Oprah podcast that I watched that I listened to, she was talking about how there is a, uptick of how millennials and Gen Z are separating from their families. And I don't know if you've seen that, Jonathan, but that conversation has like been around. It's been circulating around for a little bit. And it's kind of just like cutting your family off cold turkey. And it's one of those like boundaries, you know, situations. And boundaries, I can't deal with it anymore. It's not serving me. And I just can't do it. And that's, you know, that's what they say. And I'm like, wow, I could never see myself just, you know, my mama calling me and not picking up the phone, or, you know, my parents calling me and me just not picking up the phone at all, or just anybody in my family not picking up the phone because it's like, I don't want to talk to y'all anymore. And I know that people have different situations.
True.
You know, and maybe that's something that you need to do, but it was a really good podcast because the title just jumped out at me. I was like, wow. I was like, separating from your family, you know, Gen Z, millennials, you know, doing that. So if you're struggling with that, if you know somebody going with that, you know, that's something to, you know, that's a podcast
to look for. I mean, let me just hit this real quick. That's a podcast to listen to for sure. But also I feel, I feel like when you cut off people like that cold turkey, and I'm not judging these people for sure, but you know, they're talking about how some of them have cut parents off for 5 years, 3 years, 20 years. And it's like, well, so knowing that and knowing how much influence parents have on us, even if we're directly connected or indirectly connected, that's going to have another effect somewhere else in your ability to form relationships. Absolutely. So yeah, you can cut them off, but if you plan on getting married, if you plan on having kids, or if you are married, have kids, or, you know, if you just want to be single and just, like you said before, like be a functional person in society, you should still talk with somebody about that. Maybe a therapist. And I would suggest a therapist because, you know, they're trained to help us navigate through certain things outside of just a regular friend. But there's something to unpack there for that individual. I don't know what it is specifically, but I got a cool relationship with my mom, my dad, but there's still some stuff I had to unpack in therapy. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I would just encourage people to, you know, seek out a therapist. If you're not ready for a therapist, then sure, talk to a friend. But I would just say that that's something worth visiting just so that you can identify what was the cause of you wanting to create that separation. And then so you can really heal behind that separation so that, you know, you don't continue to create a cycle of whatever that is going forward.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, so right now, our last 14 minutes that we got here, we're going to talk about what is your full potential with Adam Grant and Oprah Winfrey, okay? This is a 47-minute podcast, great podcast. I'm going to read a little bit of it. So Oprah sits down with renowned renowned psychologist and professional Adam Grant to talk about lessons from his latest New York best time seller book, Hidden Potential, The Science of The Science of Achieving Greater Things. Known for his research in human potential, Grant shares how everyone can achieve greatness and unlock the potential by cultivating character traits like resilience, curiosity, perseverance, and embracing discomfort. He shares personal stories of overcoming his own limits and insights from people who've accomplished the extraordinary. Joining the conversation is the first Black chess master and people on Zoom around the world that they interviewed. Some of the takeaways that I some of the things that I took away from the podcast was, one, he talked about the difference. He talked about the correlation between confidence and action. And that really stuck with me because I was a person that thought I do have a lot of confidence. I'm a confident person. And most of the time I will just do, but there are some things that I have to build up the confidence to do. And Adam, you know, he says, well, flip it, you know, instead of building up, because he was a diver. He talks about how he was a diver in, I think it was high school or college. Let me know. I forget. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Which one? High school.
So he was a diver in high school and he had no experience.
No experience, but he really wanted to do it. His coach said, if you in, I'm in, let's get it done. And then he went to state and all the whole Olympian and all that stuff. Junior Olympics. And so the correlation between the action and the confidence is the fact that you don't need the confidence to do the action. You need to do the action to build the confidence.
Man.
And I mean, when I heard that, Jonathan, I was on a walk and I mean, I just stopped for a second. It was just like, oh, it was just like music to your ears because it's like, wow, that is, you know, that's so true. Or the correlation between your character traits and your personality. And I love that too, because it's like, okay, Brittany has these character traits, but this is Brittany's personality. And you don't all sometimes, well, most of the time he talks about it, people, when they do things or when they act upon things, you act in your character trait instead of acting in your personality. And I was like, wow, that's good. Because you know, you might be self-developing as a human and, you know, you might build these new character traits. And then when you go out in the world and you go out and you talk to people and you're like, okay, I just learned this new character trait. I'm going to do it. I'm going to practice it. And it's like, well, you should act as your personality because that's who you are. Your character traits are, I forget where he says it. I'm going to have to jump into you, Jonathan, so I can find it. But mm-hmm. it's just the fact that your character traits act within your personality or something like that. But I'm going to get clear on it. What did you take away from it, Jonathan?
Yeah, so I want to rewind it back a little bit when you're talking about the action and the confidence. And then he brought up a conversation to where he had with Sarah Blakely, who was the founder of Spanx. And then he's talked about how she went from door to door selling fax machines and then becoming an entrepreneur to starting her own company. He asked her, like, how did you get the confidence to do that? Like, mm-hmm. you know, you door to door and now you know, big business with the Spanx. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I did. She said, I didn't have the confidence in my knowledge and skill. I had confidence in my ability to learn.
Britt,
when I tell you that spoke to me in the season that I'm in right now, not all of my life, but a good portion of my life in school, I don't know if I ever really leaned on my ability to learn. I just leaned on my confidence in the subject. And that's why I struggled with math. And that's why I struggled with language arts and English and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it took me realizing that there were certain teachers who would really speak to my confidence to learn. Like, Jonathan, you can do this. Jonathan, show up for class. So from that point, that really helped me now be able to say, oh, I can learn anything. Mm-hmm. But that's where it started. But Britt, when I tell you that part really hit, I said, oh, that's the straw that broke the camel back right there. So yeah, that thing was good, man. Because now, like I told you the other day, and like I've been saying, like now I'm learning things that I want to learn. Right. So now I know that I have that ability to be able to grow, to be able to expand.
Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel it. Okay. So he says character is a set of skills that you develop for overriding those personality traits. He says, so I'm a shy introvert from a personality perspective, but I love sharing knowledge and I enjoy teaching. And I felt that because I felt the same way, because I've heard people say, Brittany, you should be a teacher. And I'm like, I don't want to be a teacher. And then I would say, I'm not a teacher now, but you are though.
That's the crazy part. You like when I see you operate and when I see you work with our guys, even working with me, like you're very thorough in the way you explain things. That before we get into what we're doing for the day, we can call it a meeting, but it's almost like you're laying out the agenda for the day. Like, I mean, you're a teacher. You definitely, because you'll do the thing, like whatever it is, troubleshooting. And then you'll say it out and then you'll be like, okay, now y'all do it. Or sometimes you'll be like, all right, you figure it out. And then you'll walk away just like a teacher. So
that's crazy. I'm just thinking, I'm like, okay, you need to learn. Maybe that's how I've always been taught. So
yeah, that is. Cause from what you even told me about your professors, you said like your professors will like give you this assignment or give you this thing. And it's like, okay, I need this by X time. So if that's how you learn, then you know, typically by default or even by intention, that's how you're going to teach. Because, and I'll wrap it up here, but even the part about what you're saying about empathy, how you feel like that's an area where you can grow, and seeing that with the teaching, it's like you're not empathetic for an excuse because you're expecting them to learn the way that you were taught. So therefore it's like, this is how you're supposed to learn. Do people learn like that? Yes, maybe, no, but either way, it's sink or swim. Either you're going to figure it out fast or you're not going to figure it out. But yeah.
True that. Yeah. And so he goes to say, I've come to like public speaking and it's a bunch of character skills that allow me to transcend the limitations of my personality traits and say, I've got to get comfortable on a stage. I have to push myself to be in the moment that I would prefer to avoid in my life values. I would have to listen to like exactly what he's talking about, but yeah, so that was character traits and personality traits. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about action versus confidence. And then feedback when they were talking about feedback and criticism. And
oh my goodness, that was so good. Go ahead.
Okay, okay. Speak a little bit on it, really quick. What do you think about it?
Well, not if you have something to read. I don't want to supersede what you're about to read from the interview. But if not, then I'll.
No, okay. Go ahead. No.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so he said that, you know, he would. So his expectation for him writing his first book was like a 7 because, you know, this is the first time he was doing it. It was something new. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But then he started to get feedback from people. And when it was authentic feedback, then he would seek out those people who didn't like the book or what they didn't like about the book because he said he felt he could genuinely learn something from them. And then, you know, his standard for himself increased to like, I think he said like a 9. And he said, if I get back feedback that's generally a 9, then I feel confident and I move forward with the book about that. But Britt, it was refreshing to hear the fact that like he ultimately cultivates and takes the insight that people are criticizing him about. I was like, I can learn from that. That's why I love
people when I ask people, I'm like, can you give me feedback? Can you give me criticism? And I take it in and then I use it for my good, you know, not everything that people tell you. It's, you know, like some people are like Oprah said, she's like, some people are just there. They're just out to get you. And, you know, they just want to say stuff. But you know if it's real or not. And that real criticism, that real feedback, I take that and I receive that and then I'll process it. And then I'll be mindful next time I do that task or whatever I'm doing to make myself better. And I'm always thinking, how can I be better? How can I be better? And I'm like, you can give me all the feedback in the world. I would love it. I would love it. So, yeah.
But I love that for you. Mm-hmm. That's somewhat how I can operate in certain settings, right? Because after I do a speech anywhere, I always send out a feedback form, right? To hear what their thoughts were, what was the surveys. And personally, I can feel like, man, that went bad. But then I'll look at the feedback and the majority of people say like it was good typically. Mm-hmm. But the people that do say stuff, I'm like, or I'm looking for it because like you said, I want to get better. But what do you do when people aren't authentic with the feedback that they give you? Like what about that? Like, it's like, you know that there's an area you can improve. Maybe you can't really drill down on it, but like, what do you do with that?
Wait, say it again.
People give you, so you're like, hey, give me feedback, give me critique. Mm-hmm. But it's only positive, but you know that like you haven't arrived in this area.
I'll ask somebody else. Because deep down, I'm like, I know that wasn't good. So let me not go ask a yes man. Let me go ask somebody that's going to give me, you know, actual feedback and say, you need to work on this, that, that, and a third. This was good. This could be better. And, you know, feedback is not always bashing the person. It's more of just like, hey, you can improve in this area. I love the way you did this, but you can tweak it to make a little better. You know, you're a little choppy doing this, you know, work on these things behind the scenes to make this a little better. So I would say don't just ask one person. And if that one person is just being that yes person in the corner, you definitely have to go ask somebody else. And sometimes it could just be self-reflection and you're like, okay, or you don't even need the feedback. You take the self-reflection, you take a moment for yourself and you're like, I know what I can do better. And that's it. Because most of the time, you know what you can do better. You just want to hear from somebody else.
Okay. I see the time. And I had a game wanted to play. We'll save the game for tomorrow. But one of these other quotes that was from the book, it said about leaders, it said, we mistake confidence for competence. Jesus.
And that was real good.
Man, that was so good. And it says, certainty for credibility and quantity for quality. Too often the people with the poorest pro-social skills and the biggest egos end up assuming the mantle at a great cost to teams and organizations. It's called the Babel effect. Jesus.
Yeah.
Hearing that, the first thought I had was so often that, yeah, the people who are the ones speaking the most or speaking the most often or frequently, that they are the ones that get rewarded. But it's like, well, where's the place for the person who doesn't speak up as much, but they have more insight than the person who's speaking? That just hit home for me.
I don't know.
It was good. I mean, they don't get elevated. But go ahead. What you got?
I used to be the person that didn't speak up, and then it was like I saw other people step on me, and so I was like, I'm gonna be the person to speak up now. I mean, in certain rooms, you know, I don't say much, but if it's a room, oh, and that was another thing. He talked about being in certain rooms, and he was like, you know, you feel that you don't deserve to be in these rooms, but it's like you're in the room. If you switch your mindset and say, well, I'm in the room because these people think that I deserve to be in the room, or, you know, you have the qualifications to be in the room. So you have to know that you are supposed to be there. And, you know, maybe you don't have much to say, but, you know, your input does matter, which is why you're there in the first place. So I'm learning to be better at that, because sometimes I can shrink in some rooms because I feel like I don't know enough when it comes to certain things. Yeah, and so I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to do it. And, you know, you've probably seen me do that firsthand. It's like, I don't want to. And then when the conversation gets going, it's like, ah, y'all ain't really talking about nothing. And that's what it is for me. So, I feel that. Yeah. So, guys, check that podcast out. It is from the Oprah Winfrey podcast. It's called What is Your Full Potential with Adam Grant and Oprah. And again, his book is called Hidden Potential, The Science of Achieving Greater Things by Adam Grant. And he's written a whole bunch of books. As Oprah stated in the interview, he is one of our today's thought leaders, honestly. So I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna check them out. I got the book on Audible, so I'm gonna put that on my list to listen to, because he has some really good insight, and he really thinking, for sure. He doing work,
man. Yeah, that's real. If y'all enjoyed us doing a breakdown of this episode, and if y'all enjoyed us breaking down their conversation, then let us know. Like, what's some podcasts y'all listening to? Feel free to send them over to us at Speaker Success in the Morning, or send over to at Producer Britt. And then we can listen to it. We can dive in. We can talk about it and share our own perspective and our experiences from it. And family, go ahead.
No. If you're not subscribed, go ahead.
If you're not subscribed on our YouTube channel, be sure to go to at Speaker Success Media on YouTube, or on your podcast streaming providers. You can just tap in Speak Your Success in the Morning, and you can get the audio experience there. But Britt, we about to get out of here. Like I said, tomorrow I got a fun game for us. You're going to be excited about it. What else we got for the people to close it out?
Yeah. Okay, y'all. So remember, we're giving up ice cream. Let us know what ice cream that you're giving up, what sugar rush you're giving up. Don't be a sugarhead all your life. Dial back on the sugar and the salt, okay? So have a good Thursday, my Friday junior, so I'm excited, y'all. I'm off work tomorrow. But have a good day and do great things. Be great. All right, Jonathan, close up.
That's it. Tap into your full potential. And family, remember, we're live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Standard to 7 a.m. Central Standard. This is Speak Your Success in the Morning. And family, always remember, all right, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?